Okay, we've heard two speakers this week. Spoke a little about Asara B'Teves, but I'd certainly like to open up the whole scope of what Asara B'Teves is really all about. And like everybody else, used as an introduction the Avudraham, a Rishon that is brought by the Beis Yosef, in Tuf Kof Nun, Simin Tuf Kof Nun. Rav David Avudraham quotes the Beis Yosef, Kosa Behilchus Tainis. Avudraham, you've heard of him. Rishon writes a lot about the davenings and about the Yom Tovim. Shasara B'Teves Hu Mishuna Mishar Tainis. Asara B'Teves is different than other fast days. She'im HaYachol B'Shabbos, had it fallen out in Shabbos, on the calendar, we wouldn't have pushed it off to any other day. Just like on Yom Kippur, it says the words, Etzem Hayom Azeh, Krozem Etzem Hayom Azeh. So too, in the Navi, Yecheskel, it says the words, Etzem Hayom Azeh. They made a siege, a matzor, around Yerushalayim. And the same words are used. He doesn't mean a gzeira shava. We're not making a gzeira shava with divrei kabbalah and divrei Torah. But it says, just like there, it says, etzem hayom hazeh. And we know Yom Kippur, Shabbat Shabboson, is docha Shabbos. So too, Asara B'Teves is docha Shabbos and Friday as well. V'lo yodati minayin hazeh. But I think it's... Says the Beis Yosef, I don't know where he got this from, to make this heckish to Yom Kippur, just like Yom Kippur is Doicha Shabbos. What in the world does Yom Kippur have to do with Asara B'Teves? Okay? So, first of all, we have to try to answer the Beis Yosef's question, to try to find a dimyon between Yom Kippur and Asara B'Teves, and to try to see why that comparison is dafka totally in the words etzem hayom hazeh. In the etzem of this day, in the essence of this day, is that just a, maybe it just happened, it happens to have the same words, so I try to, or is there something in the words of etzem hayom hazeh that we could draw this comparison? Okay. Second question is asked by many of the mefarshim, that if there are dalit soimais, we know there's the tzom of the first one, at least not chronologically according to the months, but according to what happened. First, what happened was Asara B'Teves, which is a matzor, a siege around Yerushalayim. The second thing that happened was the tzom of Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, when five great terrible calamities happened to Klal Yisrael, one of them being breaching the wall, making holes in the wall of Yerushalayim. Then you had the Churban Abayis and Tisha B'Av. That's the third fast. And the fourth fast is Tzom Gedalia, when the remnants of 20,000 or whatever Jews still remained in Yerushalayim. Unfortunately, Gedalia was killed, and that ended everything, and they had to leave Yerushalayim. That was sort of the end of the Golos. And those are the four Tzomos. Of all of them, Dafka, the only one that's Zeicha Shabbos, is not Tisha B'Av, which is so chamor. You have five inuyim, that things you're not allowed to do on Tisha B'Av that you don't find by the other fasts. And it starts from at night, according to everybody, Ashkenaz and Sfarad. And you have all the chumras of Tisha B'Av, and there's kinnus, and there's mourning. Besides tshuva, there's mourning. And yet, Tisha B'Av is not Doicha Shabbos, as it says in the Mishnah. The only thing that's Doicha Shabbos is Asara B'Teves. Asara B'Teves, as was mentioned this week, happened 2.5 years before the Churban Abayis. Good. Somebody said this week it was the handwriting on the wall, there was something about a warning, and we didn't heed that warning. That's all good, but that it should be That should be the ikker one that's doicha Shabbos. It's so important. Be'etzem ha'yom hazeh. I must do it on this day more so than the other three tzaymais, especially Tisha B'Av. Why is that? What's the chumra hadavar? My third question is, then why do we have Dalit tzaymais? Dalit tzaymais is all dealt. The ultimate was the Churban HaBayis. So why make four fasts out of that? Separate tachanot, separate stations. This thing happened, the matzor happened now, and then the holes in the wall, and then make one tzom for Churban HaBayis, because that's what they're all about. They all deal with Churban HaBayis. So why should we have four separate tzomot? Those are my three major questions to try to understand. Really, we want to understand what Asura B'Tavis is all about. It says because a matzor was put around Yerushalayim, and it's such a severe day that it's comparable to Yom Kippur. It says, V'yechem ha'yom hazeh, and it's Doicha Shabbos, and the Beis Yosef himself asks, on the Avodram, why should it be Doicha Shabbos? I don't understand. What's your comparison to Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, it says, Shabbat Shabbaton. What does that have to do with here? And secondly, the union of Asura B'Tavis being more so than the other Gimel Tzomos to be Doicha Shabbos, why should that be? And the third thing is that why do we have four Tzomos? They all lead to the same ultimate Churban HaBayis. That's what we're mourning. That's what we're doing tshuva over. So to have one Tzom to make it difficult, the only days, the only bittul Torah we have today because of that, make one Tzom and that should be enough. One Tzom, Churban HaBayis. I wanted to say as follows, based on a yesod I heard from my Rebbe years ago, that this is not the only place where we find four stations leading up to something ultimate, and each station is a separate fast was made. We find the same thing by Yetzias Mitzrayim, where we drink four cups of wine. Why do we drink four cups of wine? Because of Dalit L'shoinais HaGeula, the Hotseisi, Bitzalti, Hotseisi means I took you out of Mitzrayim, Bitzalti, and I saved you, Vigo'alti Hashem, and I redeemed you, Vilokalti Hashem Lilo'am, and I took you as a nation. So because of that, we drink four cups of wine. I know we like to drink wine, but it all deals with the Ge'ula. Drink one cup of wine and be Yitzhak. I mean, there's so many other stops that happened along the way from Yetzias Mitzrayim until either Kabbalah HaTorah or Eretz Yisrael. There were 42 Nesios. Every single stop, I'm going to make another cup of wine. Why these four things were chosen instead of one cup? Because we were nigal, we were redeemed, we were taken out of Mitzrayim into Geula, from Golus to Geula. Why four? So the Ramban already asked this question, and he gives his pshat, the other Rishonim give others, that there's something special about each one that makes it into a separate cheirus. A separate, it's not just going out of Mitzrayim, and it's not just coming, but there's things that happen along the way that each one was a separate cheirus. So I would attempt to say that the same thing could be that for the four steps of cheirus, when you go from Abdus to cheirus, from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, what's in the Kabbalah Satara, the same thing, now we're going back from cheirus to Abdus, so you have to have the same four steps. The same four steps, if they're considered four separate steps, rather than one step, they're considered four steps. So what happened going from Geula back to Golus, also those four steps happened. Meaning, the first step getting us out of Mitzrayim was Vahotseisi. So that's going to be comparable to the fourth step of going from Geula to Golus. And I'll try to explain myself. The Ramban says, what are the four steps? Why do we have four cups of wine? Four, what happened? There was one Geula. What happened over here? So he says, Vahotseisi means he took you out of work. Until then, we were working. And we stopped working, and we did Avodas Perach. Imagine 16 hours of back-breaking type of work. That the first thing was that took us out a little from Golus into Geula. The first Cheirus was the step that we stopped doing work. The second one was Vihitzalti. Vihitzalti, he says, means that we weren't, till then we were mas obeyed. We were like a servant that paid taxes. and or our loyalty was to Mitzrayim, that stopped at the second stage. That's a new cheirus. That's not the cheirus of I'm not doing work, but I don't have to be loyal anymore to the Mitzrayim. I don't have to pay taxes to them. I'm a separate colony within that land. That was another cheirus that made us into B'nai Chayrit. The third step is the Ga'alti, which the Ramban explains what exactly happened by the stage of the Ga'alti, that Ga'ul is like a Mechira, Gemara says in Kedushin. I gave over those people to somebody else. The Mitzrayim gave us over to Hashem. That means they have nothing to do with us anymore. Not only don't you pay taxes, nothing to do, they Kilu sold us, says the Ramban, that's the Russian he uses, to the Goel. Who's the Goel? Hashem. The fourth step, is Matan Torah, is the giving of the Torah. Some of the Rishonim say coming into Eretz Yisrael. So those are the four steps. It's not some steps. It's a different type of Ben Chayrin. The first time I'm a Ben Chayrin, I used to work like a slave. That's the guy that Mamish is a workaholic, and suddenly at the age of 65, he retires. Stop doing work. It's a tremendous chayrus that he has. The second chayrus was that I'm not even a mas obeid anymore. I don't pay taxes. I have nothing. I'm like a separate colony within Mitzrayim. The third one is I have nothing to do with them anymore. They gave me over to a new Baal HaBayis, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We became one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the fourth one is Matan Torah. That means the highest step of Geula, leaving Golus, getting a Ben Chayrin, the highest step is Kabbalah HaTorah. The lowest step is stop doing work. That means if that's the highest step, that's step number four, when we leave, unfortunately, Geula, to go back into Golus, that means the first thing we lose is that Volokati Assembly Va'ad. That we're not holding by step any four anymore. We're not a total Ben Chayrin that we have Volokati Assembly Va'ad, that we have the Torah. And something happened comparable to not having the Torah on Yud B'Tevet. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That just like there's four steps that take me from Golus, Mitzrayim, into Geula, and each step is a separate one, says the Ramban. It's a separate Cheirus. So when I lose that, that's what it means when I go from Geula into Golus. Each step of the way, I lose one of them. So the first step that I lose was the highest step that I gained, which is the Lokati Assembly Law. Okay? The truth of the matter is that we say this on Tisha B'Av. The Yekes even have a niggin to it, that there's B'tzeisi mi Mitzrayim and B'tzeisi mi Yerushalayim. I don't know if you remember that by the Kinnis. It's came out the most famous one. And there were two Yetzias. One is from Golus. One is from Golus to Geula. That's what happened B'tzeisi mi Mitzrayim. And unfortunately, from Geula to Golus is B'tzeisi Yerushalayim. But it's the same thing. You'll see, it's compared one to the other. And whatever this one gains in steps, this one loses gradually in steps as well. What does Cheirus have to do with Torah? Why is that called the fourth step of becoming a Nigal, Geula, or Cheirus, Ben Chayrin? What does that have to do with Torah? So everybody knows the Maimer Chazal, Ein Ben Chayrin Elami She'osek B'Torah. She'nemar, as it says in the Torah, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the Luchot, it says, Ki'mechtav Ohim Hu Chorus Al HaLuchot. It was engraved or carved out on the Luchot, on the pieces of stone were engraved or carved out the words of the Aseret HaDibros. Al tikri chorus el cheirus. Say Chazal, don't read engraved or carved out, but rather read the word that should be cheirus. Ein ben chayrin misha oisek b'tayr. Why is somebody who's oisek b'tayr considered a ben chayrin? If anything, we have all shel tayr. Imagine a Mashiach telling me on a fast that I'm supposed to come in to learn tayr for 2 hours today. It's like wild. I mean, that's a Ben Chayrin, I gotta sleep, I gotta take care of myself. Why is that considered Chayrus? In what way is that considered a Ben Chayrin? You agree, Yehuda? He's telling me I have to come to learn 2 hours. What's going on over here? Oil shall tire, but you consider a Ben Chayrin. Why is that a Ben Chayrin? So the truth of the matter is the Gemara says, and Rashi brings this in Parsha V'zois HaBrocha, if you had to describe the words of learning Torah, especially Torah Shabbat Peh, the Halacha, to understand What verbs would you use? What Russian would you use to describe the experience of learning Torah, especially Torah Baal Peh? So the Torah uses a Russian, Lotseif V'Lovo. Moshe Rabbeinu reached his 120th birthday, and Lo Uchal Od Lotseif V'Lovo. He realized that this was the last day of his life, because I can't come in and go out anymore. What do you mean, come in and go out? Were you coming in to go in out to the base? Maybe it's not. Says, my Yonah shall Chokmah, Nistat Mumoy, my Yonah shall Chokmah. The wellsprings of Chokmah stopped. What is Torah Shabbat Peh? I use my wellsprings of Chokmah, Chidushim, understanding, Pirushim, to get to the depth of it. I realized on this day it stopped. And it's not because he was lacking in bodily fluid or in energy. But Chokmah, Einoy, everything was perfect. He jumped, it says, 12 flights of stairs to get to Har Nevo. He was as free as they come. But, I can't go out and go in anymore. And why is that called learning Torah, especially Torah Shabbat Peh? Why is the verb Lotseif V'Lovo? What does that do with Lotseif V'Lovo? So we find a very nice Lashon like that by Yericho, when it was closed in, there was a siege, there was a matzar, we couldn't get out. It says, Ein Yotzeis, it's Togeris and Togeris, Ein Yotzeis Ein Bo. The same Lashon is, what does that mean? Lotseif V'Lovo, if I have the right to go in and go out, that means I have a place. I found my place. I have a makom. And nobody can take away that place from me. Otherwise, it wouldn't be my place. That's what freedom is. A person that has a place, that he has his makom, is a person who is a free person. If it's a city that has a matzor around it, has a siege around it, that means I can't go in and go out. I'm in my place, I'm in my home, but in my home without freedom means I'm forced to be over there. That's not the faithful Lavo. I don't have that freedom. I'm not a Ben Choyrin. Now there's a spiritual Ben Choyrin and there's a physical Ben Choyrin. A spiritual Ben Choyrin is somebody who learns Torah. He has his place. He carves out his makom in life. If somebody will, near to Shem, you guys should have years and years of learning Torah, especially Torah Shabbat Peh, you'll realize that you'll have a certain freedom. You'll have, that's you. You can be described. You have a reality. You have the faith of the bow. We know exactly who you are. You know who you are. But somebody who is forced into doing things in life, whether by society, by the Eight Sahara, by all types of things, he's not able to be Yosef and bow. And the Mela, therefore, Torah is the highest level of Ben Chayim, because Ben Chayim means, the highest level of Ben Chayim means I have a place. I have a makom. I have my makom. That's the spiritual one. There's a physical one, like happened in Asar B'Tepes, suddenly the Bnei Yisrael, they weren't allowed to go out to leave Yerushalayim. There was a siege around Yerushalayim. They were in the ghetto. They couldn't move. If people that were in ghettos never during the Shoah. If that was exactly what it means. Not stop, they didn't have things. That's a terrible thing. But they couldn't go out. They didn't have their muckle. A person without a place, like an Eved, the worst thing that it could be is that he doesn't have a place in life. He's not a Ben Choyrin. And that's why what happened on Asar B'Tepes, two things happened. We read in today in the Smichos, for those that looked at the words of the Smichos. One thing was that there was the Targum, there was the translation into Russian Yavanis, into Greek, where a good part of the Torah, especially the interpretations of the Torah, the words of the Torah, were taken away from us. We lost a certain edge of having that freedom, that Lotseif V'Lovo, those wellsprings of Chokmah, like by Moshe, that we lost our freedom. Besides that we lost our freedom, there was a physical siege around Yerushalayim, which we lost on that day. And those are the terrible things that happened on Yud Beteves, that we lost the highest level of Cheres, because that's how you start losing. It's Dalit stages. You first lose the highest stage of freedom, that's what you lost. And that's symbolized by the Lakati Assembly on the Indian of Torah. Number one, we lost a certain edge of Torah, and we lost that place, physical place, that we could roam around wherever we want. The truth of the matter is, if you want the epitome of what's safe, of freedom, that's Yom Kippur. Number one Yom Kippur, the Luch HaShniyos were given on the Yom Kippur. That was the greatest day of Kabbalah HaTorah. That was also the day where all, physically, all Avadim were returned to their Makom. All lands that were taken away, that were taken away, you're sold to somebody else, you're returned to your makom. We all returned to our makom. We got a makom, both in Rukhniyat and in Gashmiyat, and the land as well. It's the only day of the year where we don't have the stuffing. We're mamish free. We're totally free. The day of Yom Kippur is the day of freedom, right? There's 364 days that you have the stuffing. One day a year you don't have the stuffing, that's Yom Kippur. Why? Because Yom Kippur symbolizes freedom. And the Lashon is Ufrotem Dror, even on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. What's called the Ufrotem Dror? The Indian of freedom, what does it mean? Says Rashi, to the Dari Yinshi, like people could go from one dira to another dira, whatever they want. Because that's what freedom is. I have a place. A place to tell me my rough, and whatever I want, I could be. Wherever I want, I could be. And that's what Yom Kippur is. So you're looking for some compatibility between Yom Kippur and Asar B'Tavis, it's definitely there. Because what happened in Asar B'Tavis, which freedom, which chayrus, which avdus did we, which golus, or which geula did we lose? We lost the geula of what's symbolized by Torah, what takes the levot. What's comparable to that? The day that has it all, Yom Kippur. It has Torah, it has lupus hashmiyos, it has physical makom for a person. He could go in and he could go out. He has dror, he has freedom. Therefore, that's the compatibility between Yom Kippur. And if Yom Kippur is Doicha Shabbat, so too, the only sad day that could be Doicha Shabbat, the only sad day of the Dalit Tzomah, Doicha Shabbat, is that day where we lost our freedom. We lost our chayrus that we have in Yom Kippur. And the truth of the matter is, that's the meaning of the Etzem Hayom Hazeh. Why is that Lashon used? Because when you lose your freedom, you lose your essence. My essence is, part of my essence, or the whole thing of my essence, I know my place. I have a place. I know who I am. I have a reality. We have that Al-Yidei Torah and Al-Yidei Physicality. And if we lost that, we lost our Etzem Hayom Hazeh. And just like Yom Kippur is the Etzem Hayom Hazeh, that's your essence. You don't have a Yetzer Hara. You don't have anything that's controlling you. You mamish control your destiny. That's why it's called Etzem Hayom Hazeh, because that's your essence. You have a place. The same thing, you have a place, and we lost that place on Asar B'Tavis. When we both physically and spiritually, we lost an edge of Torah and our makom in Yerushalayim, that took away from that highest level, which is Yom Kippur, and we got us to the lowest, we lost that level, and we got from level 4 to level 3. That's the meaning of Asar B'Tavis. So we answered why we have Dalit Tzomos. Each one, just like going from Golus to Geula, it's a different chayrus, like the Ramban explained. You must say those steps are diminished. So you start from step 4, you diminish, then step 3, Nebuch, step 2, and step 1. And the step 4 that was diminished happened on Yud B'Tavis, because we lost that great chayrus of a Lakati Assembly La'am, which is symbolized by the Torah, by Kabbalah HaTorah, by the union of Yom Kippur. And we lost our essence on that day, and to lose your essence is the first step in losing your chayrus and going from geula to golus. I don't have enough time to explain each and every one, but you'll see in each and every one you can find the compatibility. How, let's say, the second one was Tisha B'Av, is Yudayim B'Tamuz chronologically, and that must be compatible according to what we're saying to Vega'alti, because Vega'alti is a special yiditus that we do. Nigal, Al-Yidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we became one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a friendliness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe a marriage even with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that happened by the Ga'alti, Kriyas Yamsuf. And that compatibility was lost on Yud-Zayin B'Tamid. Look at the five things that happened. Batal HaTamid, something that every single day we were close to our Master, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't just an occasional thing. The union of Avodah Zarah and also Tzelem Behechol and all the things that happened means some foreign influence set in. And the whole thing of Chayrus was that the Mitzrayim left us alone and we were now Nigal by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They sold us. And if the foreign influences go in, that's the opposite of it. That's why on Yud-Zayin B'Tamuz we lost our Geula edge of Vega'alti, of having that closeness, oneness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's compatible to the third level of from going from Golus to Geula, which is to be Nigal that get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think, number one, as a Jewish nation, we have to realize that we Baruch Hashem, we're in Eretz Yisrael, we have a place, we could have a place, There's still foreign influences that try to be okerit. We have our own influences that try to be okerit. We have Machloikis, which is the biggest Akira uprooting of having our place in life. We're always looking over our shoulder what the other one says, and we have to work on it. But certainly, as B'nai Torah, as Yeshiva Bachrim, at least the ones that came here this morning, that braved Nebuchadnezzar, that 8 hours of not being able to eat, it's a big Indian Rabbi, there's a realization that you want to find your reality, you want to find who you are, you want the highest level of Chayrus, of being a Ben Chayrin, is Matan Torah, is the ability to delve into the Torah, toil and labor, using your wellsprings of Chokhmah, whatever you have. Everybody has their own, and they have to maximize it. And that's the union that we lost, in, unfortunately, by the Greek takeover of the Torah, Al-Yidei the Targus. And here's Hashem, we should try to regain it. The speaker said yesterday, the Kamenefi said yesterday, that Chazan Sofer said that this is the day of the year on Yud B'Teves, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide whether this will be the year of Binyan HaBayis. And it fits in Mamish perfectly what we're saying. The Bayis is our Makom. That's the Makom when we have a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we're not in some foreign place, but rather we're in the Makom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Shchina, the Shchina being Shira in the Beit HaMikdash. Yes, Hashem, but maybe we should take upon ourselves. Not that it should be the year. It's going to be the year because the realization that we want to regain that what's faithful of all. We want to regain that special union of having our own reality and having our own freedom and being B'nai Chayim on the top of the list. Can't get higher than that. And we don't want to lose that. And all you did that, the first part will give us the basic message this year.